Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everyone, and as always, thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight on At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, television journalist, and I think all-around good person that's the host of the show with the one and only, and I think the most handsome man in the world, entertainment co-host Michael Kay is joining us. Hey, handsome, how are you this evening?
Oh, you know what? You could say that forever, Victoria. You're so kind. You're darn smart looking yourself, lady.
Well, I appreciate it. And you know what? I'm even very smart looking, considering a couple of days ago I had my wisdom tooth taken out. I kind of complained to you a little bit via telephone about that. But it actually wasn't a bad experience because I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I'm not fond of dentists or dental pain and stuff like that. So I'm really happy to hear that your little wisdom teeth pulling session went over without a hitch, because I'm not that person. I'll need lots of things. Yeah.
Well, it only took 5 minutes. He kind of pulled the first time and part of the tooth just came right out, and then he tugged the second time and it was out. So really, I don't even think from start to finish it was 5 minutes. But I am doing well, and of course, you can tell I'm doing well because I am able to talk tonight. So I'm excited about our show. Of course, I'm always excited about all of our shows. Michael and I bring you the latest when it comes to news, information, entertainment. And tonight we're kind of focusing on the entertainment part because we've got the director and creator of a web series, and we've got some music, Michael.
Yeah, we do. I'm really thrilled to bring to the audience, again, back in February, went to the Indie Soap Awards and met two incredibly talented and charming and beautiful women, Liz Ellis, the writer and creator of the web series Wreck, that took home, I'm pretty sure it took home at least one. I'm not really quite sure about what the other one was. And the star of that, Bama Roger, who's, I think, one of the funniest women that I've had the pleasure of watching in a while. So they're going to be joining us. I'm very excited too, Vic. They brought they have a house band that kind of does the music for the series. It's called the Friends and Family Band, and so they are actually on a trip to Montreal. They're actually flying in the air right now, and that's why they couldn't be here. But we're going to be playing some of their music, as well as our good friend. Remember when we went to Secrets in Ocean City, Maryland? We saw David Andrew Smith. Remember that?
Yeah.
Great little guy. He's going to be playing at Ireland's Four Courts in Arlington, Virginia, coming up tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. It's 2051 Wilson Boulevard. For tickets, you can call 703-525-3600. So I like the guy a lot. He looks amazing. He's lost a lot of weight and doing very well. So I suggest we go ahead and open with a little bit of David Andrew Smith. And when we get back, we're talking with the fine ladies of the web series Wrecked. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Talk to me. I wish that you would talk to me. Although I've tried so hard to see, I cannot read your mind. You got a picture of love in your head, a romantic ideal. Well, that's all very nice, little darling. That's renewed as you prove you care. Love is not just a spectator sport. It's not more than maybe to see. It requires an effort on both sides. Oh, which I'd hate to tell you, baby, but read your mind. Talk to me. I wish that you just talk to me now. You tell me you're in love with me. Can I tell me why? Talk to me.
Playing at Ireland tomorrow in Arlington, Virginia, 2051 Wilson Boulevard. Call 703-525-3600 for tickets. And now who we're going to talk to is the lovely, brilliant, and talented ladies of Wrecked, Liz Ellis and Bama Roger, joining us. Welcome to In Home Victoria, ladies.
Hi, Michael. How's it going?
Doing very well.
Hi, Michael.
Hello, Bama. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Victoria, say hi to the girls.
Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You. Yes.
So, Liz, you've been doing a lot of filming. You're filming season two right now of Wrecked. Let's go back to the Indie Soap Awards. You took home the award for which again?
Well, I took home the best director, and our romantic lead, Robert Bergen, took home best supporting actor.
That's what it was. Okay, I knew there was at least two. Yeah, Vic was watching the very first episode. I watched all the episodes when I first got home from New York and emailed you. I think it was the second day that I got home, because after New York, I was on such a high that I went into overload mode. I burnt my retinas watching hours and hours of web series. And I was really happy that yours was the one that I picked up to be one of the first, because I was really, really impressed with not only the production values, but the writing and the acting as well. So just a simple kudos from At Home with Victoria to you. But let's go back down. Liz, you always wanted to work in film. Where did you start?
I've worked in theater and then wanted to work in film and been a student of film my whole life. My dad brought me into that world and always was showing me more challenging and interesting stuff growing up. And then I went to Hampshire College in Western Massachusetts, where you can study whatever you want, basically design your own major. And I wound up sort of studying narrative in a looser way. And then for my final year, they have you do an independent project. And I studied web television, and that's what my degree wound up being in.
Wow, and well chosen and stuff. Bama, let's go to you for a second. You know, quite frankly, I'm going to do this because I can. I compare you to the lovely and talented Rachel Harris, who I think is a brilliant comedic actress, and it's something about your delivery. Plus, I mean, you two could play twins, quite frankly, but where did you get your start in acting as a young child?
Well, I was a huge Carol Burnett fan when I was a kid.
Right.
And my sister and I used to spend the weekends at my grandmother's house, where we got to sort of just watch TV as much as we wanted. And it was while all those shows, Carol Burnett was big, and we got to watch Monty Python from time to time. And that's just sort of when I decided that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
And then when I was older, I took my first acting class when I was in ninth grade, I think. And then when I was a junior in high school, I transferred to a performing arts high school, and so I got to do tons of stuff, which was really awesome.
Yeah, you're too young to have a big long IMDb rap page, but I noticed something on there was Grey's Anatomy, Aaron Shannon.
Yeah, that that was my my 15 seconds of fame when I did the whole Hollywood thing. I went to LA for a while just to sort of try it out, and I think I got Grey's Anatomy after. I was just in an episode. I was just a co-star. I had a couple of scenes and a few lines, but it was right before the writer's strike. It was sort of, you know, I got that part, and then there was nothing.
Wow.
So it was a real, I sort of picked a bad time to be there, but I just kind of decided that, it was too hard to leave Seattle. I couldn't break up with Seattle, so I had to come back.
Yeah. Seattle's a fantastic place, Vic. I lived there for about a year and a half. I lived on Lake Washington. I lived in the smallest basement apartment known to the human civilization. I think it was 11 square feet. You could cook dinner on the toilet. It was one of those things. And I lived actually across the bay from Bill Gates. Bill Gates was building his big mega mansion over there. I thought, boy, oh boy, you pig, you energy pig.
That's funny. Yeah. Liz, I wanted to ask you to get back to, you talked about that you basically created your own major while you were in college. And that interests me because I was sitting here thinking about how within the education system, you know, they're really trying to catch up with modern times and modern society and technology. So that was very cool, first of all, that you were able to do that and suit it to your lifestyle, your career, and what you want to do in life. And second of all, I wanted to get your thoughts about web series in general. And how I remember, you know, just a little over maybe a year or 2 years ago when you would mention in conversation a podcast, a web series, and how people would sort of scrunch their eyes and not really know what you were talking about. But
right.
Now, fast forward a year or year and a half, and you say the same thing, and people understand what you're talking about. And the ones who generally don't are kind of just missing the boat altogether. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a sort of theory about web television and how it's basically the first time that we've had the opportunity to have independent television shows. There's been some, you know, people have had cable access, whatever, local shows over the years, but the first time that people have been able to get a larger audience with an independent show, because we have, you know, independent film and independent music have these great lives that people really. Those things can catch on, and you can make a whole career as that type of artist, and people recognize that the path that you can take to have that type of career, and there's never been a path like that for television. And so for the first time now, all of a sudden, it exists, and it's still trying to find its feet, but I give it 2 years before it kind of figures itself out and is, you know, one of the ways in to not necessarily the industry, meaning, you know, the larger television industry and the mainstream television industry, but into an industry where you can make a living and make a name.
And Bama, I wanted to ask you if you could talk about the difference in or if there is a difference in when you're acting for a web series versus, you know, the acting and what you're doing for a regular series drama or something out in L.A. or New York.
You know, I actually have not. I have mostly a theater and improv background. So I am. I have for years and years performed on stage. So I actually really had to see myself acting badly on camera a lot before I figured out that you really have to scale it down and. Yeah, and it can be, it's very different, and it's, you know, you almost have to, a lot of times you feel like you're doing nothing, and then you see it on film, and then you're like, oh, it actually does read. It took me a while, and actually Wrecked was great for that, because, you know, it really got, there are still moments in Wrecked where I'm like, stop gesturing with your hand, you know, where I still feel like I'm there's too much acting, but it's kind of an anti-acting, which is very, very interesting. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah, The medium lends a certain, it's almost like a motion picture on your iPad or iPhone and stuff, because the smallest nuances register really well. And I don't think you're overacting at all, Bama, because seriously, I would tell you that. I want to go back. I would say, woman, what are you doing? But I found you to be fantastic, and you had a cooking show.
Oh, you watched that?
Oh, you know what? Seriously,
I was
in full blown stalker mode, Bama. I watched everything that you did in that one day. I was bleary, like I said. But the cooking show that you did with your family was hilarious.
That is Cookus Interruptus. That's actually another. That was my first foray into web TV. But it's actually more of a even though it's couched in a sitcom format, it's an educational, it's sort of an educational resource, because it's Cynthia Lair is a woman that I've done improv with for years, along with Liz's father, John Ellis. And Cynthia also sort of has this secret life as a nutritionist, and decided that she wanted to make a cooking show, but she wanted to make it funny, and she wanted to be able to use improv. And so she sort of came up with this fictional family that she wanted to just sort of always be around her as she was doing the cooking show. So we just sort of created this world and created the story around the cooking show, that she was doing the cooking show to bring in extra income for the family, because my father, who is played by Matt Smith, who's a hilarious local solo performer and improviser, and that he had quit his job to sort of go through a career transition, and I had moved back home with my child, and so we're just always there.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of go ahead, Liz.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you notice Cynthia Lair, who is the host of the show, is also in Wrecked. She has a cameo in the first episode as the yarn store lady. That's hysterical.
Yes.
She's hilarious on camera.
Yeah.
She's super hilarious.
Well, the entire cast is fantastic, like I said. So it's fantastic. Honey Toad Studio, Liz, let's go to you for a second. When I got home, I was trying to look up Wrecked on Facebook and everything like that, and had to find it through Honey Toad Studio. Now, you did this all on your own? I mean, like I said,
no,
you're far too young to be so enterprising.
Well, I was going to say, oh, by no means, and then you said far too young, and the thing is, it's not just me, but it's nobody older than me either. I started Honey Toad with my friends Nathaniel Beekler and Charlie Pope, who, I graduated from college with them in May of last year. Charlie graduated a semester earlier, and I had written Wrecked as sort of a proof of concept, writing a script for a web series as part of my thesis work, my undergraduate thesis, and I showed it to Nathaniel basically just to say, hey, you study film, like, will you give me feedback on this and make it stronger? And he said, you know, we have to shoot this, and he sort of stayed on me about it, and Charlie stayed on me about it, and we decided to move out to Seattle together to start Honey Toad, and so it's been the three of us, and Nathaniel edited Wrecked and wound up directing our second season, which has just gone into post-production.
Fantastic. Vic, you have something to add?
Liz, I wanted to add, if we could go back and just sort of, if you can tell our viewers a little bit about Wrecked and just what the storyline is for those of them that aren't familiar with it.
This is so funny. We had such a hard time at the Indie Soap Awards. Michael, you might remember this. There was the photo area where people were taking pictures, and then off to the side after that, after you got your picture taken, there were people standing around to interview us, and we hadn't predicted that. And they asked us this question, and we all just stared at each other, and there's like three videos online now of us, because it was one right after the other, and every time somebody else says something, and it doesn't ever quite make sense. The best one was Robert Bergen offered to the first person, well, it's kind of like Girls in that it's a show. We're just stranded. But it's a comedy. It's definitely a comedy, but it's sort of trying to be a little bit truer to life than most sitcoms. It's trying not to be formulaic. It's just sort of trying to be honest. A lot of people when they read the script or when they saw the show, talked about how it's how vulgar it is, and I was kind of like, well, that's just how people talk. It's just how the people I know actually speak, and it's just sort of alarming to see that represented on video. People tend not to. But it follows Bama's character, Spencer, who has just lost. She's totally messed up her life. She was dating her boss, and she cheated on him, and so she lost all of her friends and her job and her boyfriend and her home. And she wound up being in such dire straits that she had to move from L.A., where she was living, to Seattle with her brother. And she has a sort of rocky, not very close relationship with her brother. So it's her trying to figure out who she is in the wake of this relationship, connect with a new city, and you know, rediscover her relationship with her brother. And all the while, her best friend has followed her up from L.A. and is making chaos, trying to make things right.
And just to clarify, too, Spencer actually slept with her boss in the office. Is that correct?
She cheated on her boss in the office. Yeah.
In the office, yes. So you said, I just think that was ultimately charming, and you know, it's very good. It's very good, and I will have to say too, some of the wake up scenes. I remember I think it was episode two where you guys got hammered. No, she already got the job at the sex shop. And they got hammered, and the scene where he's on the sofa and she is crumpled up on the floor, it was very much like I would wake up on a Sunday. It was very much down to earth. And I will have to say, actually, as you're very right, because West Coast talk and East Coast talk is a little bit different, and that's what I found really interesting about listening to friends and family, their music. I really miss West Coast music because there is a different blend to it and a different blend of humor, and I think you've really captured it well. We've got a little bit of a clip here from Wrecked, and actually this is at the top of episode 3, I believe. Let's give it a listen. This is Wrecked.
You guys have any warning labels you can put on the case shit? I just had to see like 5 guys with dicks in their mouths.
The heterosexual titles are right over there.
Where's the lesbo section?
So you're offended by guys having sex, but not women?
Yeah. I'm straight.
Thanks. Yeah, I got that.
Are you one of those kind of chicks who can't laugh at jokes?
No, I'm one of those kind of chicks that laughs at jokes because they're funny.
Right. Back jokes are never funny.
How dare you?
Can I have your phone number in it?
What? No!
See? Dyke.
First of all, no, I'm straight. And secondly, I am not going to go out with some douchebag just because he had a bad time in the gay porn aisle.
Oh, so you're one of those classy chicks, huh? You playing hard to get?
Dude, this is not rom-com animosity, okay? It's regular animosity. We are not going to overcome the awkward first meeting and subsequent discoveries of disparities in self-confidence and punctuality because love conquers all, okay? I hate you and everything you stand for.
Oh, man. Hot.
Funny. I love
Brilliant
it.
Brilliant writing.
Thank you so much.
There it is. I love
yeah.
it.
Yes. So that's Spencer has a proclivity for putting her foot in her mouth. She tends to just constantly say too much, and so that's her first opportunity to interface with a customer after she gets a job at a sex shop, and she manages to completely alienate every customer she comes into contact with.
Well, Liz, when you're actually sitting down, excuse me, and you're in that process of writing, and you're writing for the different characters, how does that come about for you? I mean, are you kind of hearing the character's voice in your head and you're writing for each one, or how does that work for you?
I have a way that I test voice, which is that I have one person. None of the characters, all the characters come from something that's happened to me in my life, someone I've encountered, but usually they're composites or they're loosely based. But for voice in particular, I always have one person that I try and run the lines through and see if I could believe that they had been said by that person, just to test and make sure, because, you know, each person has their own certain way that they inflect things, and I find that keeps things, like, nice and consistent, and that way, whenever anybody says that they think that a line is unbelievable or that they can't imagine someone talking like that, I'm like, oh, my God, have you met my friend so-and-so? It's exactly how they talk.
Michael?
Yeah, hilarious. Why don't we go ahead and make mention up to everybody up in chat. Guest 5968-7140, Kelly Usbitney joining us, and Shannon Sibbald from the UK joining us, our foreign correspondent. Bob, I'm going to go back to you for a second. Comedy seems to come natural to you, and I think you're, you know, brilliant at it and stuff like that. Who would be your dream co-star to act opposite?
Ricky Gervais.
Really? Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. I'm kind of obsessed with him, actually.
Wow.
I just think his comedy is so pure. And I actually just recently watched his interview on the Inside the Actor Studio, because I did not go to theater school. I went to performing arts high school, but sort of, you know, in the theater community, I often have people ask me where did you train, and I didn't, and then I always feel real bad about it. But I love that about him, that he is sort of completely untrained, and so he's in New York, like, talking to all these students about his craft. And I just think he's so organic and pure, and just a naturally funny person.
Yeah.
And I love what he does.
Yeah, he's a certain piece of work. My UK obsession is with Graham Norton. I think if I was to ever to come back as I think Graham Norton is just the bee's knees when it comes up to the information that he has. Granted, he's got a team of producers and stuff, so he can pull off the most obscure stuff, but I just find his delivery and the way he treats his guests, I think, are very kind. Like the way we treat our guests here in Homeless Victoria. You know, we love you all like our children, and we follow your careers diligently. And I think the web series is the way to go. I think it's the new television. I'm going to go to Liz for a second too. I have some audio here from Friends and Family Band. How did you guys get hooked up with them? Because really, their sound is super unique.
They're phenomenal. They're so talented, and their live shows, I have to say, if anybody is listening in the Seattle area, they play all the time, and they're so fun to watch live. Nate Rogers, who plays keys in the band, I believe, he and I went to high school together, and we hadn't connected for years, and then there was a funny moment where somebody who was in a band in Seattle with whom I was also friends on Facebook said, how do you two know each other? And we hadn't, you know, spoken a long time, and it sort of brought back, oh, hey, we should hang out. And as soon as we met up, we realized we were doing a lot of the same things. He's also working in film to a certain extent. He works with Shep Films on some projects. They're brilliant. You should look them up. And he wound up coming and being an assistant camera operator on a few days of Wrecked, because Nathaniel Buechler, who directed the second season, was an assistant camera on the first season, and was acting in it as well in a couple of days. So he came and filled in. And then we just loved their music so much, and we were looking around for music to put. Every episode of Wrecked features a different Seattle band over the credits, and they offered us their music, and it was a perfect fit. They're so talented.
Yeah, they super are. I'm going to go ahead and play some of the music. This is Friends and Family. The song is called The Smallest Sound. When we get back, I would like to ask everybody in the house what they think about the whole new, everybody's Facebook changing red for marriage equality. I'm going to check and see what is happening out in Seattle where Obama and Liz are from. But till then, Friends and Family with The Smallest Sound. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Breath and skip the next, I hear it coming.
to do some new music tonight from Friends and Family. That's a Seattle group that's providing music for Wrecked, the web series that we are talking about to tonight. And I just want to take a quick second just to mention that now, every Monday, Michael and I, from 8 o'clock until 8:30, are going to be playing music exactly like this. We seem to have created a tremendous amount of music in our library from past guests and new artists that are constantly sending us music. So we're going to play music on Mondays, and the show is actually called Music Monday. So you guys are going to hear a little bit more about that. But, ladies, I wanted to segue into I know you guys have been watching the news. Even if you don't, people are talking about it in their communities. You can't kind of escape it. But what's the feeling like out there where you are about same-sex marriage and the Supreme Court taking that up right now? Liz, you can go first.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the Facebook profile pictures, because Facebook is – it's kind of insane. It's more than half of my Facebook friends have that red equal sign or some creative derivation of that red equal sign as their profile pictures, which is just kind of a nice – warming feeling. I'm not. I doubt that it has any impact on the Supreme Court ruling, but I think that it's just a nice way to say, you know, we support you one way or the other.
Right, Bama.
Yeah. Well, we're still just sort of, you know, it was so exciting when the vote went through, just recently. For gay marriage, I mean, it was such a euphoric. There was a big town hall, you know, kind of parade, and people were getting married for days. And so it's you know, we want the rest of the country and the world to be able to have that too.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things that just sort of seems obvious to us, but it's, you know, just for us to kind of just put it out there.
Yeah, I'll agree with Bob on there.
It's become like,
go ahead.
It's a cyber flag.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I love the ones with the bacon. My favorite ones are the ones with the little bacon strips, because, of course, we all love bacon. Who doesn't love bacon? That's very important.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's pretty good.
I did like Lady Liberty making out with Justin.
That was a good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I also saw one where it was split with, it was, I think the caption was, imagine this day, and it was actually a protest outside the White House of mixed marriages, how, you know, the communism and stuff like that. And the caption was, imagine how stupid we're going to feel in 40 years. And it was a picture of today, which I think that's what's going to eventually happen. It's going to become the most ludicrous debate. And we spent so much time trying to go ahead and push it through and make it through, and yes, everybody deserves the right to be divorced, and, you know, everybody wants to watch a gay divorce court. I get that, but I do think it is prehistoric. I think the whole topic should be, you know, a no-brainer. But Vic,
well,
what's your thoughts?
Well, especially given, yeah, I mean, what we saw here, and speaking of Facebook, is that as soon as it was legal and town hall opened for people to get married, just all this love happened, you know. It was just people and their families and strangers going downtown and throwing flowers at people who had been together for decades and had never been allowed to be married, and just people in, you know, en masse, like, weeping together. And you look at it and you go, how can anybody think that shouldn't happen?
Mm-hmm. True. Like I said, it's a no-brainer.
And, you know,
really
one thing that,
hard to argue with.
You know, one thing that I was thinking, and of course, my mind as a journalist, and I always kind of focus on that, and I'm always thinking story-wise, is that if you look at the data, if you look at the polls and the research, it's just an overwhelming number of Americans, and I'm not only talking about Democrats and independents, but also there's a larger number of Republicans who actually support same-sex marriage now than they did 5 years ago. So just the number itself has just grown like crazy. So it is interesting to sort of see, for me as a journalist, that disconnect with the courts and with the courts versus what the people want. So that whole sort of thing is just interesting. But pretty much, I mean, I think if you look at American history in general, the people tend to win out. You know, unfortunately, it seems like it takes a little bit longer for the people to win out in the end. But generally, the people tend to win out. Now, there was also a journalist, and I can't think of her name, but she did a really interesting sort of essay slash article about, you know, are the justices, you know, just sort of too old and set in their ways? And I think that that was a valid question, because I know that there was a number in one of those polls that talked about, you know, teens and young adults, for example, between the ages of like 16 to something like 35 years old, pretty much across the board, didn't matter if they were Republicans, Democrats, atheists, whatever their background happened to be, that age group, you know, pretty much almost like 95% support same-sex marriage, and they just don't get why older people just don't get it. So it's kind of interesting to see that disconnect between the courts versus what the majority of the people want. So, you know, from that point of view, that really interests me.
Well, in this particular case, it doesn't seem like it's going to be an issue of popular opinion or even of morality, because the court is very predictably split. You know, there's like the four liberal justices and the four conservative justices, and they're going to go the way that we knew they would. And it seems like Kennedy, who's the only swing justice, is really kind of ignoring that whole line of argument, which is actually fair, which is actually what the Supreme Court is supposed to do. It's not supposed to be swayed by public opinion, you know, and matters of civil rights shouldn't be really up to public opinion. They should be, you know, the smartest people deciding. We have to be better than popular opinion on those cases. And it seems like he's looking really logically at the constitutionality of something like DOMA, which interferes with states' rights or something like that. And it's really interesting to see that this hugely emotional, you know, moral issue is probably going to wind up resting on this sort of one man's cold logic about this 250-year-old document. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying, you know, for me as a journalist, and it's wonderful to be alive and to actually be a part of this and sort of have a front row seat to history, is that, you know, where are we going to go as a country, as communities, as states, as cities, as counties, when you really have that sort of disconnect between what the judiciary system is thinking, how they're looking at it, versus what the population of the United States, in study after study, shows what they're thinking about it. So yeah, it is interesting to see what's going to happen. So, Michael?
Yeah, I'm curious to know, who here thinks that Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr are the new March on Washington tools by getting, you know, social media involved and stuff like that? These controllers or decision makers and stuff like that, they have to get their feedback from someplace, being, you know, public. So do you think, let's go to Liz first, do you think Facebook actually holds any bearing, does it hold any water when it comes to doing a social protest?
You know, I don't, to be perfectly honest, and there's actually a joke about that early on in the first episode of season 2 of Wrecked, about how you can't just like a cause and have it change. You know, I actually worry a little bit that stuff, the ability to just sign a petition online from the comfort of your couch, might kind of mollify people who would otherwise be getting up and walking outside, because I think there is something really special about the presence of a group of people who not only, you know, feel a certain way about an issue, not only stand for marriage equality, for example, but are willing to get up and walk outside and stand and let their faces be shown and their voices be heard. That I think isn't as powerful when it's just a tweet, because it gets lost in this sea of people's, you know, the other stuff that people care about on that level, what they ate for lunch that day. It just doesn't, in my opinion, have the same impact. I can't imagine it does. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Vic, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, that the first thing that came to my mind when you said that was the Arab Spring. Now, in the case of the Arab Spring, it was as a result of Facebook and I guess a bunch of other social networking sites that actually happened, because the only way that a lot of those youth during the Arab Spring was able to get any information was through Twitter, was through social networking. So in that case, you know, I can clearly see an argument for yes, it certainly did help in that case. You know, here in the U.S., I really don't believe that when it comes to matters of, you know, policy, when it comes to matters of politics, that's going to sway someone one way or another. But I'll tell you as a journalist, what I do think and what I do see is happening is that if politicians and different think tanks and people in groups are interested in kind of just getting a quick reaction about an idea, a quick reaction about a policy that they're going to put out or something that they're thinking about doing. The same thing with companies on Facebook. If a company is thinking about something and they want like a quick poll really quick, then they can put it out there, see sort of what the masses say, and make a decision based on that. And I actually know that for a fact, because there's a couple of friends of mine who work for different companies, and she said that whenever they really want to test ideas, that they actually do that. But I'm with Baum on that. I don't think that when it comes to American policy and setting debate and procedures and stuff, that Facebook, you know, really has any, you know, kind of has any claim in that. Now, what it does serve as, I think, a galvanizing force, you know, for people to rally around a cause, to show those pictures, to say that they were in front of the Supreme Court. You know, I think, like, what it did for me, because I wasn't able to be there at the Supreme Court and I wanted to be there just to bear witness to that, it allowed me, through my friends on Facebook who are there, to bear witness through them. So I think it does that.
And I think that the point you made about the Arab Spring is really valid, and I think that in that case, something like Twitter becomes a mechanism by which people can organize more meaningful protests. And as a means of disseminating information, which is like the most crucial first step to making change, it's, you know, I mean, the Steubenville case, it was just such a big deal, was all initiated by a blogger who was spreading that information around and making sure that people knew that this was something that had happened. You know, and I think if Sophie Scholl had a Twitter account, it would be a different world we were living in. It's like that is so powerful that information can get around like that, that it's something that, you know, governments are now freaking out about and clamping down on in terms of like cyber attacks are the new big thing that the governments are genuinely afraid of and genuinely organizing against. It's a really interesting, different world that I don't think we've adjusted to.
Yeah, and it's an interesting topic, too. I mean, even I think for myself as a journalist, I remember first, like back in the day when websites came out, and I remember being in my newsroom, and I remember managers there, you know, they just didn't get what the big deal was. Like, why do our TV station, why do we need a website? And I remember kind of in my head laughing, like, you know, you guys have, like, no idea what's going on. So it's interesting because now that I do a podcast and I've sort of switched over into the social media and taking my career the next step forward, and seeing that's where this is going, like you guys are doing web series, you know, people are sort of running to me in my industry asking, well, how did you do that, and what is this, and what is that? So, you know, so technology and things like Twitter and Facebook and stuff, it's wonderful, because Michael and I would have never been able to communicate nor probably meet you guys if it wasn't as a result for Facebook and social networking. So it does have great implications of having it. But I just, I just really think that when it comes to, you know, that sort of, you know, actually changing a policy, I don't think so. Now, one thing that I forgot to mention that I do think that Facebook and social networking is very, very good for, and that's for shaming. So let's say, for example, you know, you there's an issue that you as a politician or a company that you've thrown out there, and, you know, people just think it's really wrong, then you can get a large group of people through social networking to kind of shame you about it. So that I do think can be very, very effective when it comes to shaming people and companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, like the Target thing.
Yeah.
Was really big on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Chick-fil-A.
Well, Chick-fil-A, too, that was a big one, too. I think it would be remiss for any one of us to think that any one of our tweets or our Facebook posts are not being monitored by some external source. I'm of the paranoid theory, so I try to kind of keep my own posts to a minimum. I've certainly gotten in trouble on Facebook and Twitter. But, Bama, let's go to you on this. Do you think social media has any power?
I've been thinking a lot about that lately. As far as I wonder if it's kind of something that maybe people are starting to get their fill of, because I think people are starting to realize that social media is something that has quickly taken the place of human connection. And I actually had a conversation, I think it was Charlie Pope, actually, Liz, who was telling me about all of this research that indicates that the amount of time spent on the internet has an impact on your mental health. And I've just sort of in observing the amount of time that I sort of get sucked into it, I don't know. I mean, in a way, I feel like it has tremendous power because so many people participate in it. But at the same time, I feel like it's I almost feel like it's that sort of, there's a component of it that's like that butter goo that they eat in Idiocracy. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
It's like, it's sort of these empty calories that just kind of put cellulite on your brain. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's, I think people are just starting to want to think about how, and I know people, there's been tons of books written about how, you know, sort of the new media and the new communication is affecting human relations. I think it's really easy to be a hypocrite on the internet, you know, to really just sort of want to change the world, but be like, click, share. I did it.
True. Yeah. But, Bama, I'm gonna stop you there for a second because I think, and of course because I think everything has to be this way, but everybody, social media is up to the user. You can use social media to your benefit. You can use it to your detriment. You could use it to expose. You can use it. Your direction will be directly put out there, and it's seen. I go on Facebook, and seriously, between web series and Facebook, I don't mean to point myself out like some pathetic guy with three cats living in a house by himself, which is exactly what I am.
No, I do it too.
You know, absolutely. But the whole thing is that you have to choose where you want to put your direction. And I think there is internet karma. I think people cyber stalk or cyber bully or want to go ahead and put some, you know, bullshit virus in your computer, all that stuff comes around. I just think it's becoming more universal. Would you agree, Bama?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I would. And like I said, the only reason that I sort of notice these things is because I'm by observing my own behavior and just sort of, or just how I feel after I've been on the internet for 5 hours, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I
feel a little empty.
You know, what's interesting with me is that I, and Michael does it, and I think probably eventually everybody may kind of go through that phase. Bama, I think it was you who talked about sort of getting your feel, so to speak, of social networking. You kind of got enough of it and, you know, your tank is full and you don't really want it much anymore. They did actually talk about, and of course I'm always bombarded with studies just because I'm a journalist. There was study or report. It was probably like 6 or 7 months ago when they talked about the same amount of people that were signing up for Facebook, let's say, for example, a year ago from today, you know, were not signing up at that same rate, and it had dropped off by, like, millions. And I was thinking about myself, for example. There are – I can go through 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, most of my email I get now is on Facebook, so I have to go on that Facebook account and check it versus even going to regular email now. But then I can go literally a month or 2 months, I don't want to look at Facebook. I don't want to log on. I don't want to see your kids. I don't want to see my niece and nephew. I just want
right.
to be what I call a normal person doing normal things without having to tweet about it and mention
yeah.
anything about it. But what's interesting, the flip side to that, is that when you do go away and you decide to come back, it's like all of your friends think that something happened to you. Like, what's wrong? Why did you get off Facebook? And it's like,
yeah,
you know, I just
yeah.
kind of wanted a break. So that was really interesting for me when I decided to kind of go off of it for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're in any sort of business where you sort of have to promote yourself or whatever
yeah,
you're doing,
it's hard.
You kind of can't. I mean, you can't. There's no way around it. You sort of have to be a presence, a media, a presence on social
yeah.
media. And
yeah, you have
media.
To. You're right.
So I don't know. It's interesting. I just sort of started to realize, like, you know, I don't think I've had a party in a decade. You know, that kind of thing.
Who the hell
and
wants strangers
do,
in your house and you got to go ahead and clean? Who wants that kind of garbage? You could have a party on Facebook, cost you $5.99 with a box of wine and some solo cups.
Exactly.
But I think that's the difference between the generation, speaking as the representative of this, that has
mm-hmm.
always had that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
True.
Because I think that, you know, what you were saying about the difference between using social media to communicate or to excuse me,
mm-hmm.
as your way of representing yourself versus using it to organize, you know, I feel like my generation tends to not do as much of their communication, do the small little one-off communications that way, and then have a lot more FaceTime. And this might just be, you know, I'm projecting based on my own way that I use it, but I
mm-hmm.
feel like we spend a lot more time together than, like, my parents are always impressed with or amused by how there's always people at each other's houses. People are always meeting up. And I think it's because we have this really easy organization tool that broadcasts. It's not just calling one person
one thing.
Saying, do you want to do this thing? You know, it's sort of like constantly in touch. So there's another way of looking at it, but I don't know if
yeah.
I'm right or if I'm just
yeah.
working
no,
hard
I,
for
I,
that.
It's
to
incredibly
make sense.
Poignant, absolutely.
It
well,
probably
No, I was going to say, I think you're right. I know you're right because if you look at all the smartphones that are out there, the iPhone, does BlackBerry even exist anymore? I don't know what's going on with them. But whatever smartphone it is that's out there, it seems like the majority of the apps that they make for those smartphones really have to do revolving around people meeting up, you know, whether it's, hey, we're all going to meet in, you know, in New York at such and such, or we're going to go meet here, or who's there. So, no, I definitely agree with you on that because a lot of apps out there revolve around exactly, Liz, what you just talked about.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's the new wave. I think it's the new wave of getting to know you. The old-fashioned meet you in person on a random chance, I don't think that happens anymore. I think technology has gotten to a place where, just imagine 2 years from now, the iPhone 6 is out, and apparently it goes ahead and broadcasts directly to your television, and your television becomes your computer. I mean, it's awesome.
Oh,
will I sleep in line for it? No. I mean, I still have a rotary dial cell phone. But the whole thing is that technology has gotten to that point where everything becomes a lot easier. I don't want to go ahead and lose you, ladies. Liz and Bama, I'm so sorry to keep you so long. I know you're on a tight schedule as well. But
no worries. Great conversation.
I thank you so much for joining us tonight and bringing Wrecked. You can check out Wrecked at wreckedtheseries.com. You can check her out through Facebook, Twitter, Honey Toad Studios on Facebook. What am I missing? YouTube as well, Liz?
Yep.
You take
it is, yeah. We have links to our YouTube on wreckedtheseries.com. It's also on Vimeo. And I just want to, can I say just two more quick things before
Please.
We leave?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I want to say that the Friends and Family band, the band you were referring to earlier, they
Correct.
Have a campaign on Kickstarter right now.
Thank you. Yes,
that
that's
does
good.
Not have too much time left, nor too much left to raise. But that if you go to Kickstarter and search for Friends and Family, their new album that's going to be coming out, if they make that goal, is going to be fantastic, and I'm so excited about it. And I just wanted to say that we are having so much fun with the second season of Wrecked, and we've just gotten into post, and it's going to be something to look forward to. People should be excited.
Great. When can we expect it, Liz?
Well, we haven't officially announced that yet, but I think we can officially announce that right now, that the first season, the first episode of the second season is going to go online on May 13th.
Great. May 13th,
wow.
exclusive.
Thank you.
Yeah, there
we
you go.
Liz and Bama, did you have a good time?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, Michael and I do. We love, of course, asking all about what it is that you guys do, but at the same time, you know, when we have important, smart, witty women like you on, you know, we also like to throw a couple of questions about issues of the day. So so that was very cool about talking about same-sex marriage and also social networking and Facebook. So you guys, Michael's going to give you his little spiel, but just for me, I appreciate both of you being on here. And just congratulations on, you know, what happened for you at the Indie Soap Awards, and I know you guys have some great things coming up. Michael and I always like to say, if you come to the Philly area or D.C., make sure you look us up because we're really good tour guides.
Excellent.
Oh, fantastic.
Absolutely. And just remember, At Home Victoria is your home, too, so feel free to go ahead and call. It sounds corny when I say it like that, but it's stuck on it. Anyways, ladies, it's been a true delight speaking with you,
Thank you so much, meeting both of you.
And consider
Thank
us
you,
both
Michael.
Avid stalkers, please.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yay.
Take care, guys.
I know you've made
Bye-bye.
It well.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Take
you
care.
Too.
Bye-bye.
And again, guys, while we say goodbye to them, don't forget to check out their website, and also you can find them on YouTube. Michael and I, as we have been having this conversation, we've been posting the websites and how you can find them inside the chat room. And also, if all else fails, which I know it won't, you can always Google Wrecked, and I assure you, you will find all the information that you need. So check out their web series. And then, Michael, that was very cool that we got an exclusive tonight. Do you remember the date she said? Was it May the 13th?
May the 13th, absolutely. Wrecked will be going ahead and hitting your computer. So it's wreckedtheseries.com. You can find them on Facebook under Honey Toad Studios. So go ahead and do this. I want to thank everybody up in chat tonight, guest 5968, guest 7140, guest 9524, guest 9749, Kelly Hughes Whitney down the road, and Shannon Sebald, our lady who's staying up way too late in the UK. But I so enjoy Liz and Bama. I think they are brilliant women who are just cutting-edge smart. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with you, and just always impressed with the folks that we have on At Home with Victoria who are just, you know, doing really good things in the world, in the space that they're in their community. So I just think it was really great. And plus, I love Family and Friends, the music that accompanies their show. Those guys are talented. So like Liz said, make sure you check them out on Kickstarter. Kickstart to see what you can do to support their efforts. Michael and I have a big announcement that we're making regarding Shannon. We're not going to talk about it tonight because we need to set a date so that Shannon can be on the air with us to talk about it. So we've got that announcement coming up. And I already made the other big announcement about Music Mondays that we are starting this coming Monday. So, Michael, we're going to be listening to a lot of different type of music because we've just got a library full of music now.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled. There's so much in here, and I'm putting together a music show is a great idea. And Family and Friends, it's www.friendsandfamilyband.com. You can go ahead and check them out. The link to their Kickstarter thing is right there. But, yeah, do you see the difference between West Coast and East Coast music? Do you see the kind of different vibe? I mean, it's definitely evident, but I think they're brilliant and definitely worth a look-see. Want to go ahead and end with some music from David Andrew Smith, once again playing at Ireland's Four Courts at 2051 Wilson Boulevard. Call for tickets, 703-525-3600 in Arlington, Virginia. Vic, such a fun Wednesday for a nice day.
A wonderful Wednesday. Before you play that song, let everybody know, well, I guess I can do that, we are back tomorrow night, Thursday night, our regular time, also at 8 o'clock. And, in fact, Michael, we're going to be talking to Sandy, and Sandy is a psychic, but what's interesting with her is that she's not only a psychic for people, she's also a pet psychic. So I'm interested in talking to her. Somebody on her team sent me an email, didn't know anything about them, and I kind of researched them after I got the email and was just super excited. So she's going to be with us tomorrow. And tomorrow, Michael, is actually scheduled for a news crunch And one of the issues that we were going to be discussing during News Crunch is about pets. You guys may remember a couple of months ago or maybe last month, a young lady who was killed from the tiger when she was cleaning the tiger's cage. So the question sort of came up, you know, how relevant are zoos? How relevant are, you know, these animal sanctuaries? So that really is going to fit into, you know, Sandy and her background as a pet psychic. So we'll be on the air again tomorrow night, so make sure you join us for that discussion.
We can ask all about your dog.
Yes, Abby. You know
absolutely.
I've got to put it out there, yes.
Yeah, I know. Don't cry. Anyways.
I won't.
Anyways, everybody, thanks for joining another edition of At Home with Victoria. I'm Michael Kay, your interesting co-host with Victoria Gaither. Vic, always a fun time being with you, and I love you tons.
Yes, love you and kisses. Good night.
Ashley, David Andrew Smith for the time being. Don't go away.
At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.